This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I am live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Thanks for being with us here today. I am Brady Hull. That is Colfax on the other side of the bulletproof glass. It is a special Top Text Tuesday today. I'm excited. Oh, whoa, hey. Oh, Susan and Cheryl are pumped about this too. I just sat in, didn't get a question fired off because I'm pretty sure every media member, and you have to raise your hand virtually in the Zoom thing, pretty sure every media member was in on this today. Dick Monfort, Jeff Breidich, Colorado Rockies 1 hour press conference about the trade, about Nolan Arenado. Man, you guys are already starting here. Basically, I'm guessing it's all going to revolve around the Rockies today, and that's fine. You know, wherever you guys want to take this, let's go for it. Eastside Chris, Brady Colfax, we are the greatest farm club of all time. Deal with it. I'm sure the party deck wasn't included with $50 million. I found myself just listening to the press conference going, all right, Dick Monfort, let me summarize it. And we're going to play clips. We're going to have fun with this. Dick Monfort, basically, the way he sounds is it's like, we're the Rockies. We're not going to have Nolan Arenado. That was a dream. We're not going to have that kind of thing. We're not doing that. We're a mid-market team. We're a lower-market team. And it's just not going to work. You know, we want to grow our guys up and be here, but this is who we are. We're the Rockies. We're going to give you this small glimmer of hope, and then we're going to send it away. So many things to unpack in this one. All right. Do you want to open up the first one? Dick Monfort kind of opening this thing up. Let's just hear his opening. What is it, about 2 minutes? We don't have to hear the whole thing. If we get tired of it, we can move on. It's about 2 minutes long. Here's Dick Monfort opening this thing up today.
Going in. Hopefully you and your families are all healthy and safe. We are here to discuss Nolan's trade to St. Louis. This brings closure to something that is we have been dealing with for over a year. Nolan is an incredible player. He came up through our system. I'd like to think we had a part in the player he has become. For over a decade, Nolan Arenado was a Colorado Rocky. In 2019, we signed Nolan to what I would call a career contract, something we were committed to. 9 months later, Nolan asked us to look for a trade. In 2020 came COVID and the stark reality of a shortened season, one without fans. Nolan's desire to move on never wavered. With an option to move on at year end, the most cost efficient way to let it play out. That also was the lowest return, and doing that also had some risks associated with it. We talked with several teams. Ultimately, we determined there was a deal to be made with St. Louis. We don't discuss financial details, but I can tell you what has been reported is not completely accurate. There are deferrals, and the money is spread out over a number of years. In return, five players with a legitimate opportunity come our direction, players who we believe will help us. I am aware this is not a popular decision, but I promise you it wasn't made with haste. I'm a fan first. I think you all know that. Our players are like family to me. We were blessed by Nolan and had a front row seat to watch this unbelievable player. Unfortunately, nothing lasts forever. I will always wish Nolan and his family the very best. Let me close with this. We have an extremely talented team. They are built to compete. It is time for them to take the next step. We are excited for our season ahead and look forward to the challenges.
All right. Opening statements. And I that was brutal. First off, there was a part of me that's watching both those guys, and I'm like, I kind of feel bad. And I know hooligans are like, no, they're the devil. Maybe they are. Maybe so. But that sucked. Like, I wouldn't want to be on that press conference. There's nothing you can say that any of us retweeting the things that you're saying, none of it's going to sound right. There's nothing that could be said. I was trying to think, like, how could Breidich even spin this? How could he make us feel better? But what, like, don't tell me it's snowing outside right now, Colfax. It's, what, is it 60 degrees out there? Don't tell me it's snowing when it's 60. Dick Monfort's telling us that this is a competitive team? Then what am I missing? I mean, you saw the same thing last year. You saw the same. I was hoping that the year before was kind of like a fluke, and it wasn't. Far from it. They were supposed to be built for a short season, this COVID season. This is what it was supposed to be, right? This was supposed to be a good thing, and it didn't work out. So, I mean, takeaways from this thing. Jeff Breidich, okay, he was also asked about Trevor Story. Because you read a story, there's probably some of you probably read the article in the Denver Post about Story saying, yeah, I heard the news and Nolan's a great friend. And quite frankly, I'm a little frustrated. What does that mean for Trevor Story and the Rockies? There was no real simple answer there either. But we want to get into this. I mean, Jeff Breidich says a lot of things without saying anything at all. And that's the biggest thing there. Dick Monfort probably says too much. You know, he probably opens it up and says way too much. Like at one point, I feel like he's just like drifting, like I do when I talk a lot. He just randomly goes, probably shouldn't have got rid of DJ. Like, what? Why are you pouring salt in the wounds, man? This is about Nolan. Why are you making me feel worse and remembering old times about DJ? I mean, bottom line is every star that is here moves on. So I'm not really buying this whole, well, we like growing our players up through our system, and that's the best thing. But when you do grow them to the point where they're studs, you move on from them. I mean, am I wrong? Let's read some of the text. Text says, I can't wait to go to a baseball game. When do the Owls start? 2022 is what I've been told. My inside sources. And I actually do have inside sources there. Yeah, crazy. Lieutenant Spangle. I know that Nolan is better than Bryce Harper, but the Nationals traded him away and then won a World Series. Give him a chance. Whoa! Whoa, Spangle! Boy, going against the grain a little bit there. Okay. Dick Monfort even said it. Now, obviously, not having Nolan isn't good for our offense. A lot of these were just things like, yeah, yeah, no, you're right. You were a bad team last year, and you just got rid of your best player. Like, you were one of the worst teams last year, and you just got rid of your best player. Not just your best player, their motivator. I mean, this guy was the leader. Maybe not vocally as much. I don't know. I wasn't in that clubhouse. I wasn't there. But he was the leader. B-Rad, and this is why fans shouldn't be owners. How can he say we are in a better position to compete without our best player? You're right. That's what a fan would say. That's what a diehard fan would say. I posted a few things on this, Colfax. And listen, yeah, I'm kind of a capitalistic kind of guy. I like talking about that. I had someone comment on my page and said, well, that's Dick Monfort being Dick Von Monfort, basically acknowledging that this sucked. But that's capitalism. You know, don't knock capitalism. When does it become, all right, capitalism's great and all, but this is a sports team. This isn't Walmart. It's not a bank. It's a sports team. When does it become about the fans? When is it about the fans? Pat Bowlen was a billionaire. And I bring him up again because that's how to do it, folks. You want to own a team, that's how to do it. There is a way to own your team and do what's right. You earned that money, whatever it is. You came into that money, that's your money. But you buy a sports team, don't you think there's like a tag of responsibility? I would sure think so. And this was bad. And they weren't straight answers. Here's Jeff Breidich talking about Trevor Story. I mean, that's the only saving grace right now is, oh, well, at least we might have Trevor Story, or will we?
Improving the club versus holding on, and can that decision be now or at the deadline? And I guess, and yeah, I'll just leave it at that, and I'll leave that to others after this.
Well, Trevor, obviously Trevor's an elite, has become an elite player. His situation is separate from Nolan's situation, as is the case with the rest of our players. We certainly cherish having Trevor as our shortstop, and it's very difficult to answer your question directly. Very difficult to predict what the coming months what they're going to look like in terms of the deadline, in terms of this season in general. We are going to try to make the season happen. Right, but we do not know what the pandemic and what the virus is going to do, and how things are going to work out. So it's somewhat difficult to predict, because of a number of factors, exactly how this is going to look for Trevor in the near future, and for other players in the future.
Follow up: Thomas Harding from MLB.com did ask him, "Is Trevor Story going to be a Rocky this season?" And Jeff kind of said, "Yeah, we anticipate him being a Rocky." Give it to me straight. Hit me with it. Was it Lloyd Christmas says to Mary? Or no, Lloyd says to Mary. No, wait, right? It's Lloyd Christmas, right? And she's Mary. Hit me with it. Right? Where, can you just tell us, man? Just tell us. Yes or no? Any reason to think no? Now, he hadn't talked to him. Jeff Breidich, he was asked if he talked to any of the players after the trade. And yeah, I've talked to the players, but not since the trade has been finalized. Okay. But he hadn't talked to any of them. They were, he said, Charlie Blackmon, Trevor Story, those guys were aware of probably what was going to happen ultimately. But they read the papers and the Twitters and the radios and all this stuff just like we do. They get that information. Not really a straight answer there. Not really a straight. I don't know that Dick Monfort pulls as many punches, but Jeff Breidich is certainly not going to give us much. Now, okay, yes, Woody Page asked at the end of the very end of this thing, have you ever considered firing Jeff Breidich, firing yourself? I mean, that Woody Page has been doing this a long time. That was the last question on the Zoom. And Dick said, basically, never thought about firing Jeff. I have thought about firing myself. Is that tongue-in-cheek? Yeah. Because you can sell the team. Dick Monfort comes from this approach of, this is as good as it's going to get, folks. You enjoyed it 2 years ago. You made it to the playoffs. You won a wild card game. What more do you want from me, Colorado? That's the mentality. And if I'm wrong, tell me, because I haven't seen it. 5 years. You've been to the playoffs five times. And you had talent. You and I were talking about after that playoff run, when they got past the wild card, they had talent. What happened? I know they took some chances with the bullpen, and it didn't work out. But, I mean, you see David Dahl, a guy that you're building up. Oh, he's going to be, oh, no, he's gone. DJ LeMahieu, oh, see you later. Adam O, we need close. Oh, no, no. I mean, all those positions that you need are gone. And here goes another one. Pillow Fight Dan. The Rockies have spent $281.5 million in the last 12 free agents, and none have been worth anything. That, plus letting DJ walk and blowing the Arenado situation in every comprehensible way, should get you fired so quickly. For DM, Dick Monfort, to say JB, Jeff Breidich, is not on the hot seat is blasphemy. It's because Dick signed off on the move, man. I mean, you guys can hate Jeff Breidich all you want. He hates the media. He doesn't respond well to the media at all. He will never give you a straight answer. He was asked about the relationship. We're going to play more clips coming back. He was asked about the relationship with Nolan Arenado and if that brews this whole thing. And he basically, I can't speak for that. Don't you love that answer? I can't get inside of Nolan's head and speak for him. We're not asking you to. We're asking if you thought that your relationship, your negative relationship at the end of this thing, was what caused Nolan Arenado to leave. And you can't respond. Hey, yeah, probably. We had differences of how to do things here. And Nolan didn't like the way it was going down. And that's it. We had a plan in place, and we weren't able to. He even said, hey, we aren't rebuilding. Nolan thought they were rebuilding 2 years ago, and he said, no, we're not rebuilding. If we were doing that, Nolan wouldn't be here. Nolan didn't like that. I actually agree with that statement, though. If we are rebuilding, we're not going to keep Nolan here. It's not going to happen. Nolan didn't like that. And listen, I'm not sitting here saying Nolan is squeaky clean. I love Nolan Arenado, but he was frustrated for so many things. He wanted the team to build absolutely around him. And they spent, it's a Von Miller thing, man. I mean, you spent a ton of money on this guy, and it's going to be harder to do that. And in fairness, Breidich tried with that bullpen. They tried. Didn't work out. But this was completely botched. 100%. Sir Charles, I like the Dick has thought about firing himself. Now what will happen? Nothing. Not for a while. Watching the press conference, Like I said, there's a part of me that felt kind of bad for him. Dick Monfort's been great for Greeley, all right? He does a lot of good things for the city of Greeley. There's no question about that. So I get a different perspective than what Denver has. Denver calls us Cowtown up here, all right? So I do respect guys that bust their tails. I've been in United Way banquets up here where Dick Monfort has put his money where his mouth is. That is worth saying. That is worth noting. And I do want to mention that. The guy puts a lot of money into this area, into northern Colorado. No question about it. But the way he responds to this situation just makes me go, this is never going to get any better. The best we can hope for is a wild card shot. As what did Dick say 5 years ago? Once or twice every 5 years. That ain't going to work. Dodgers ain't going anywhere, man. Texas, we're not getting a decent free agent for a very long time. With how we screwed over Tulo, drove Nato out of town, ruined the careers of almost every pitcher we signed, there's not a player who will want to come here no matter the price. It's only getting worse, too. It's only getting worse. There's no player that wants to come here to this situation. Can we honestly name a good or successful Jeff Breidich move? I mean, it's getting harder to do that. You look at a lot of guys that, I mean, was the Charlie Blackmon move a good move? In hindsight, probably not. I like Charlie. Love Charlie. He was great for a short stint, but he's getting paid a lot of money. There was a lot. I mean, DJ LeMahieu, I would have taken that chance on. I would have given him more at that moment. And I think a lot of us thought that anyway. Texter, I would never question his heart and what he's provided, but like Jerry Jones, it might be best to get someone to run the franchise and just be an owner. Yeah, just be an owner that's not doing these press conferences anymore. You don't have anything to say about it, whatever. He has his general manager to make these decisions, but the reason he's not firing Jeff Breidich, folks, is because he was right there. This is part of his decision. This was part of his thing. 23 minutes after the hour. We are going to talk other stuff today. No Nuggets game last night. There was a false positive, so no Nuggets Pistons game. We didn't get to see Jeremy Grant and a Nuggets matchup last night. When will they reschedule that game? Who knows? Mountain West Conference talk. Jesse Kurtz going to join me from the Mountain West Network. And we'll talk about, our Power to Play sports poll question. Who's winning this thing? Who's winning the regular season title? There's still a lot going on. We're staying heavy on this today. I have a lot more clips to get to, but we'll take a quick break here. 24 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
It's a party. Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
That's the only thing that would make this better. Get a little Wild Thing. Get a little Charlie Sheen coming in. helping us out. Power to Play Sports poll question. Who's winning the Mountain West Conference? I know that's not the biggest thing on your mind right now, but it is big deal. I mean, the Rams have a chance to win this thing, the regular season. It's going to be CSU, Boise State, Utah State, San Diego State. I want to get to that. Jesse Kurtz coming up a little bit later on. Where else you want to go? On the here's Dick Monfort talking about the financial side of it. Colfax, how long is that? Is it a couple minutes? Is that 3 minutes?
About a minute and a half.
You know what? I want to wait on that because I want to unpack all this. All right, you watch the press conference. You're hearing about it. Are you still not a fan?
No.
You're still a fan?
Yeah.
Yesterday you weren't, but I get that. No, trust me. I'm going to watch. Yes, I'm going to watch. And you better believe I'm going to root for this team to succeed. I am a Colorado kid. I'm rooting for the Rockies. There's this part of me that says, what if Breidich and Monfort, what if they figured this out? Which, no, it's not right. No, of course not. But I'm going to watch. I know that you guys are out. I mean, we had a caller a little bit ago. It was like, hey, another Owls thing, another Owls reference.
Yeah.
Owls, this might be, you're right. It might be an opportunity. I just ultimately don't know. The move makes zero sense. And we can go through like the guys they're getting back and everything. But at the end of the day, there's no way to spin this thing. And Breidich was asked point blank about his relationship with Nolan Arenado and a couple of times. And basically goes through and takes us back through third grade, his first memories of, I know Nolan and his family, and we talked to the farm systems and all these, and we have a great relationship. And then, just, you know, people change over time. You don't have to do that, all right? We know what happened. We know you guys had a screaming match at the end of the 2019 evaluation period. We know you guys went at it. We know that there's just bad blood there. We know that Nolan Arenado said he felt disrespected. But it's ultimately going to be just shoot it straight with us. That's the least you can do at this stage. All right, more on the Rockies. It is Top Text Tuesday. B-Rad. Are you kidding me? All right, first off, B-Rad sends in a picture. CDC warns against cheering at Super Bowl parties. What? This sounds like a joke. B-Rad, dude, get the Swiffer picker-upper and run that thing across the base of your... Just run it right across there, and then you'll get those buttons in there, man. CDC warns against cheering at Super Bowl parties. What? What reality are we in? Is that... it's a little nutty, all right. 32 minutes after the hour. That's a good text right there, because it just, like... It's a bizarro world to me. We're going to get Jesse Kurtz of the Mountain West Network. Great, great guest of the program. We'll get him up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Just in the nick of time. I mean, we can only cry about this Rocky situation for so long here. We need to talk about some great things going on throughout Northern Colorado, but throughout a conference that we talk a lot about, and that's the Mountain West Conference. Jesse Kurtz swooping in to save the day here, bring some positivity to us. Lead anchor at the Mountain West Network. Jesse, my friend, thanks for being with us as always. We appreciate your insight.
Of course, but let me be clear here, man. Misery loves company. You know, in my job, in 25 years of doing this, I've kind of been desensitized to the professional sports ring. I don't care as much as I used to if the Broncos or Nuggets or Avalanche. Sure, I want them to win, But I'll tell you what, dude, I live and die still with the Colorado Rockies, and they just kick me in the groin left and right. So if you want to talk Rockies, I mean, I'll sit here and cry with you, man. We can drink some beers and cry with each other.
I was sitting in at the press conference today, and I'm like, is it too soon to crack open a beer through this thing? Or because we get to do it in the Zoom, you know, we're in our own comfort of our office or whatever. So I was seriously considering that at like 10 this morning.
It's been a rough couple of days, man. I mean, I grew up, you know, being a baseball guy. I ended up playing club at Colorado State, and I coached club baseball down here in Southern Colorado. I've coached high school baseball, and so I'm a baseball guy through and through. And to see what happened this weekend, and not even getting rid of Nolan, I get it. That's where the Rockies are in the hierarchy of Major League Baseball. But to watch what you get in return and just get taken to the cleaners, like, it's like, you got to be kidding me.
I think that's the thing, Jesse. I think that's what most fans are kind of saying, right? Hey, we kind of get it. We didn't want to see Nolan go, but at the end of the day, we kind of get there's a fracture there between management and the player. But not even to get a guy that, you know, I mean, we've had some deep scouts on the show today or the other day, and they're like, okay, yeah, we know those names, but I can't really tell you much about them. That's when you know, there's not even like one of, and it's not, I'm not trying to disrespect those guys. I hope all the best for them, but these names just don't stick out when you talk about these kind of deals.
Yeah, and you know, baseball's a weird thing. You guys are late bloomers into the minor leagues, so you're right. You never really get to, you know, understand, you know, how good someone can be. I can remember when Drew Pomeranz was traded to the Rockies. I believe it was a part of the, it may have been part of the holiday deal. And he was the second coming. Like, this guy was going to be the guy.
Yeah.
So you just never know. But anyways, I appreciate you talking me off of a cliff here, because it's been a rough couple of days.
I was trying to sit down. I was like, all right, I'm going to forget about this Rockies thing. I'm going to watch the Nuggets play the Pistons tonight. And then we have a false positive there happening. So sometimes it just seems like they keep coming. But I will say this, Jesse. This Mountain West, you talked to us, you were on 2 weeks ago talking about this conference, and I think, you know, you said, hey, I wouldn't be shocked if you got three or four teams getting into the big dance. I think you got to still be feeling that way, right?
Yeah, maybe more so than before, with the way that the teams have been playing. You know, Boise State at 14-2, Colorado State, I think we talked about a couple of weeks ago. I think they may be the best team in a tournament type setting to make a run. San Diego State, now healthy, is maybe the favorite in my mind. If you just had to pick one team, so that this is probably the team. And Utah State is as good with a front court, back court combination. So I'm looking right now. I don't think that there's any reason that all four of those teams should not only be highly considered, but should ultimately get in.
Yeah, well, you look at, you mentioned Colorado State. Let's go there. They find a way in three tough, I love it now, series, the way they're back-to-back anyway. I've really enjoyed it. I don't know if the players can say the same thing or the coaches, but CSU's got to be feeling pretty good. They split with San Diego State, they split with Utah State, and they find a way to split with Boise State. Boise State and Utah State, they still have to play each other. They both have a tough road ahead. If you're the Rams, you can't get complacent, but at the same time, you got to be going, all right, maybe the hard part is over.
Yeah, well, they're the only team that has already gone through that gauntlet of the other, quote-unquote, three in the mix. So to have the record that they have right now at 9-3 in Mountain West play, and I already have gone through Boise State, have gone through San Diego State, and have gone through Utah State, you love where they sit. The big thing for the Rams, of course, we all know how tough the border war can be, regardless of sport, right? And to have to go to Laramie, play on their court, obviously they won't have the crowd that they would normally have for a game like this, but that's always tough. And then I look at that game, that series against Nevada in late February, the 20th and 22nd. This Nevada team is as playing as well as anyone in the league, just really boat raced UNLV. Steve Alford has been around this league. He's been around big time college basketball. So going to Reno there, that's probably the toughest series that remains. And I wouldn't be shocked if Nevada somehow finds a way to get into the mix when we get out to Las Vegas for the tournament. So that's going to be tough for the Rams. But if you're looking just purely on paper of who already has navigated the toughest Mountain West schedule certainly is the Rams, and they sit pretty there at 9-3.
We're talking to Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor over at the Mountain West Network, talking all things Mountain West Conference, of course. And Jesse, well, and that's something I love it, because you say it's on paper. You look at it, okay, CSU should be better than everybody in front of them. But these back-to-back scenarios, they can be both really good. If you lose game one, maybe it helps you win game two. But we've kind of been seeing this, not just in the conference, but other conferences as well. It doesn't matter if you're a middle-of-the-road team or you're a top team. Playing a team back-to-back and trying to do it twice in a row is a difficult task.
Yeah, it's incredibly difficult. And you look at just, the sample size of, Colorado State in a lot of instances, the team that lost game one wins game two. For whatever reasons, you identify those places where you might have slipped up or where you got exposed, and you take the next day to shore up those problems. Boise State obviously played a much better game at Moby Arena than they did in game one. And for whatever reason, the team that has lost in these series has really played markedly better in that second game. So it is an interesting challenge. It's been fun to watch teams in those back-to-backs retool and put together a better game.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this. That's why I wanted to get you on here as we're in this stretch. I mean, some big games coming up. Like we said, Boise State, Utah State still have to go at it at this stage. But man, this is going to prove to be quite the finish. We asked the question today: who's winning the regular season title? Is it going to be Boise State? Is it going to be Utah State? CSU, San Diego State, Nevada may be a little far out there, but who knows? If you had to guess, Jesse, I mean, would you put a guess right now on any team in particular? Would you lean toward the Colorado State Rams?
So here's where I normally I wouldn't do this, but I'm going to go ahead and go. I think Colorado State is sitting pretty. I really do, because of the way that they're playing, because of who they've already played. But I think San Diego State may be their toughest competition. I think San Diego State, going into the year, I really thought San Diego State was the best team. Matt Mitchell gets hurt, and you say, uh-oh, where is this team? But, boy, they have played really good basketball since Matt Mitchell has returned. They blew out Air Force in back-to-back games. Air Force is struggling, so we'll kind of overlook that a little bit. But the way that they did that, a couple of 30-point wins, and then they go and absolutely hammer Wyoming. And the teams that they have left, they're scheduled to play against New Mexico here, San Jose State, Fresno State, and then they finish the season with Boise State. So, that's a pretty favorable schedule. And you look at Boise State, who right now only has one loss, but, boy, they've got a tough schedule remaining here. They're at Nevada here this week. Then they play UNLV, who's playing really good basketball. Then Utah State and San Diego State. I can't imagine that they don't lose two or three of those.
Yeah,
just by sheer numbers of who they're playing. So that would put, in my mind, San Diego State and Colorado State in the driver's seat. I mean, obviously, Boise State wins out. They're the champions. But based on who, these teams have left, I think Colorado State and San Diego State right now may be the favorites to really jockey for that 1-2 position.
Yeah, better not blink, right? Because one of those, CSU, San Diego State, could just jump right over the top there. And I don't know, we mentioned we might talk about it a little bit maybe as we get closer, but the tiebreaker scenario could come into play here as these teams are so tight, with Boise State with the one loss, Utah State with the second, or with two, and then CSU with three. We could be getting into the whole thing where we're really examining this thing to see how it's going to look here, even over the weekend.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't dive totally deep into them this afternoon. I got tied up. But to your point, because it is such a weird year, there have had to be, there's tie-breaking scenarios that had to be signed off on by the athletics directors of how this will look, because there's going to be, whether it's in our league or in any other league, there's going to be a scenario where a team is, let's just call it, for lack of just pulling out numbers, 10-2, and another team is 8-2. He's like, well, both have two losses. This team lost a couple of games because of COVID. How do you separate? And those two teams split during the regular season. It's not a perfect science right now, and inevitably somewhere there's going to be a how do you make the separation. We went through it with football. We've gone through it in other sports with all of these. How are we going to separate these teams if this scenario comes to fruition, which it usually has because these teams are losing games that they might not get back. So it's one of those things where you try to predict the future, which is always dangerous, right? Let's just hope for our league that these teams end up playing the games that are scheduled so we can, you know, compare apples to apples, because it's a tough process when it comes down to it, picking which team deserves to be 1, 2, 3, or 4, you know, so on and so forth.
Yeah, Jesse, one more for you before we let you go. Looking at, I think you mentioned it to start the segment about Colorado State. Maybe as far as these teams go, and I think we could all agree, we're going to get a few teams in the big dance, and hopefully they make some noise. But do you feel like it would be the Rams maybe to make the loudest noise if they do get into this conference, as opposed, you know, Boise State, Utah State, what have you?
I think they absolutely are right at the top of the list, them and San Diego State. My reasons are I love the energy that Colorado State plays with and the short memory. Nothing seems to rattle that team. And they've got, you know, a guy that just does the dirty work and looks really good doing it, David Roddy. Isaiah Stevens can score. He can set up other guys. Thistlewood, when he gets hot, it's lights out. They're a fun team to watch, and the energy with which they play really, I think, elevates them in a place where you catch fire and they're going to be tough to stop. The other team, San Diego State, been there, done that. Nothing rattles them because they've seen it all before. And they got 10 guys that average 10 minutes or more, so they'll go pretty deep on the bench. So I like that when it comes to, you know, going into a tournament. You might lose a player or not. And be able to eat up minutes. For those two reasons, I like those two teams getting into the tournament and maybe winning a game or two, or dare I say three. So yeah, I do like Colorado State the way that they're playing, in Las Vegas and beyond. Why not?
Yeah, and just like that, I'm excited for a future in sports. We were so down in the dumps about this Rocky situation, and now I'm looking forward to seeing what this Mountain West Conference can do. Jesse, I'll take you up on those beers, man. We'll grab a couple of beers and talk about the good old days when Nolan Arenado was doing crazy things for the Rockies.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable time, and hopefully we can get to the 2025 season here real soon so we can forget about all the tragedy that's happened with the Rockies in the offseason leading up to the 2021 spring.
I'm with you, my friend. Always appreciate you. Love the work that you do, and look to catch up with you very soon.
Yep, appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right, Jesse Kurtz of the Mountain West Network. There's some good things going on. There's a lot of great things going on. I know today the news is Dick Monfort, Jeff Bride spoke to the media. I will say this. They scheduled that press conference pretty quickly. I was complaining about it yesterday, saying, where are they? Where are they? Well, the trade wasn't finalized until last night. And then the next morning, here we go. Not sure we really liked the response. We're going to talk more about that. Dick Monfort, Jeff Breidich, more of their comments from the press conference that was today. It was interesting. I sat in on the whole thing, and I found myself at the end just kind of like, what's the point of asking questions anymore, guys? Because you're not getting anything. We'll be right back.
Follow your UNC Bears all the way to March on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. NoCo Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I got to tell you about my friends over at SCL Mortgage. Find them at myspecialmortgage.com. They're family and veteran owned, and as you've heard, interest rates are at all-time lows. So now is the time to get rid of any consumer debt that you have. Car loans, credit cards, student loans. That interest is not tax deductible, and your house payment is. SCL has been serving Colorado for 20 years. years. Give them a call, 970-444-1222. Maybe you need a bridge loan to buy that new home while your current home sells. SCL can help with that as well. Again, check out their website, myspecialmortgage.com, or call 970-444-1222, NMLS license number 1200716. All right, a lot to unpack. Second hour. This is devoted to the Hooligans. Top Text Tuesday. There's no guests coming up, which, again, never frowned on having a great guest on this program. We pride ourselves on having the best insiders throughout the state. But Dick Monfort, Jeff Breidich, the aftermath of the press conference that was. I want your thoughts. It's Top Text Tuesday. Still got to crown a winner of this bad boy. Ken Bone, I'll read your text because that might be a winner. We'll be right back.